We didn't violate anybody's rights. If this is not a public street. It's not a public park. This is a university. So time, place, and manner for a demonstration or an event is essential to the operation of the university. We're running a university here. Mm-hmm. We're not running a playground.
Welcome back to the podcast. This week, politics editor Karsten Oyer joins the show as we look back on the state press's conversation with President Crump.
We also discuss the use of AI at Cronkite in a sit-down interview hosted by Maya France with Cronkite professor Shelby Grossman.
I'm Audrey Lippert.
I'm Trent Ashdown, and this is State Press Play.
Welcome back to State Press Play. I'm Audrey Lippert, here today with Karsten Oyer, the politics editor with the State Press. He recently sat down with President Crow to discuss all things ASU. Karsten, how was the Crowversation?
It was interesting. It always is interesting. I've done this. This was my second time doing the Crowversation. And, you know, we always come in with different questions based on what's happening at ASU. So I'd say no Crowversation is exactly the same, and I'm certain this one was unique in its own way.
So give us a little bit of background about how you decide which topics to bring up in this conversation with President Crow.
Yeah, so all of us editors, our editor-in-chief Sophia Braccio, our managing editors, and us desk editors all have access to a document that we are preparing in roughly the week ahead of the conversation, sometimes earlier, that we just add our questions to. And when I'm thinking of conversation questions, what I'm really thinking about is, what do we want to hear from him about? What stories did we produce in the past couple of weeks, in the past semester, that we want to make sure that we can get his opinion on or get additional information on? So the Crowversation really is a good chance to pick his brain. So when we're asking those questions and formulating them, we're really trying to get at kind of what he thinks about certain things, which sometimes is different than what the university says.
What were some of the questions you came up with for this year's Crowversation?
So we asked him about the ongoing labor dispute between Aramark and some of its dining hall employees and food service employees. We asked President Crow about the secret recordings of now four faculty members at ASU discussing diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and practices. We asked him about campus protests. We asked him about the presence of ICE on campus. We talked to him about a lot of things. We talked about the appointment of Randy Bennett for basketball coach. And we ask a lot about science and technology. That's one of President Crow's favorite topics to talk about. So it's always interesting to hear what he has to say about things like our new medical school, the use of artificial intelligence. And that's also an opportunity for us to ask about the upcoming advanced technology fee that will be starting next fall and that has generated a lot of student controversy.
And what question were you personally most excited to ask going into this conversation?
This isn't a question I personally got to present to President Crow, but it's one that I'm really glad that our staff were able to ask him about, which is the university's contract with Aramark. We've had coverage for years now that's been talking about some of these issues that students have raised with Aramark, student workers who work for Aramark have raised with that company, as well as this ongoing dispute that's kind of dominated the talk about Aramark. So getting to hear from him, because ASU has the contract, but they're not directly responsible necessarily for those practices, for the working conditions that are kind of run by Aramark. So it's always interesting to ask him what he thinks about continuing to partner with a company that's accused of some pretty awful things.
Yeah, that was one thing that I thought was really interesting when I listened back to the recording. He definitely seemed to distance the university itself from Aramark in a way that I wasn't really expecting.
Me either. It was an interesting kind of opinion or perspective that you know, the university really values workers and having good working conditions. Crow himself said that he cares about, or at least values, unions, which is really interesting when you have unionized workers demonstrating, at one point walking off the job and going on strike. So President Crow has been kind of confronted with protesters and unionized workers in the past over the university's contract with Aramark. So it's interesting to hear him talk about unions in a relatively positive way.
Building off of that, what was an answer from President Crow that you were least expecting to hear?
I think his discussion about ICE, when we asked him about what steps the university was taking in response to student concerns about ICE activity on campus, Crow maintained that ICE hasn't been on campus, that ICE hasn't been active, or that any students have been deported. But he was willing to go into some of the details about what the university would do if a student was deported, which included offering online education to help them finish their degree. He said that the university would completely do that, which was, the directness was really interesting with which he was willing to talk about that.
And of all the issues you discussed with President Crow, which do you think is the most important for students to know about?
I think students really, I mean, maybe I'm biased because I'm the politics editor, but I think the student protest part of it, I think that was really critical. In two kind of separate questions, we had a question specifically about whether the university had changed any of its policies relating to campus protests. He said no. But we got to kind of hear his thoughts about campus demonstrations and the First Amendment and right to free assembly. So he has this really not necessarily unique among, I'm sure, college administrators, but he really cares about both protecting the First Amendment, but also exercising what are known as time, place, and manner restrictions on campus protests, which essentially means that as long as you're not discriminating based on viewpoint, authorities like the university could say, hey, you're not able to use the lawn of Old Main without telling us first and getting that kind of registered. As long as, you know, you say the same thing to college Democrats and college Republicans, that's okay, which is something that Crow has talked about a lot in the past. And he also, this is a question I asked with regards to a event that was going to be hosted on campus by National Ground Game, which is kind of a liberal alternative opponent to Turning Point USA. And the decision from the university to not give this event permission to be hosted on campus. And the same was true for an event proposed by Turning Point USA at ASCO. They were going to have two events kind of in opposition to one another, counter-programming. So we got to ask him about that. That was something that we were in the middle of covering. And we got to say, hey, National Ground Game, which is that organization that's against Turning Point, they're saying that the university has violated their First Amendment rights, that you canceled this event, that they had permission and then they lost it. And, you know, they're saying they're going to sue the university. What do you have to say about that? And he said, well, we have to be able to run a university here. This isn't just the middle of nowhere. Like, you can't just do and say whatever you want. There are justifiable and legal restrictions on that. So being able to hear him talk about what that kind of looks like and what the reason for the university to have those restrictions in place was interesting. And it was also interesting to hear him talk about just the, you know, the facts of the case, which were that the university says they didn't approve this event in the first place and therefore couldn't cancel it. So it was just, it was a really interesting couple of questions to hear his opinion on.
It's really nice that State Press actually gets to sit down and have this open dialogue with the university president. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but how long has the State Press been doing this regular sit down with the university president at ASU?
I don't know the answer to that. But you are right that it's really interesting that we get to do that, because at a lot of universities around the country, that isn't the case. So we're frankly very lucky that we have access to President Crow at this frequency, because there's student newspapers across the country that really have to struggle to get any kind of interview with their president.
And why is it important to have that open dialogue?
I think it shows that more than just getting answers to some of our pressing questions and our community's questions from the top, it also helps us create that kind of dialogue with not just Crow, but the university. You know, we have to go to the university for a lot of things. We ask them for statements and information all the time. So being able to have what is really a civil, respectful, curious dialogue with President Crow, asking questions, getting answers, and having something of a conversation with that, I think is really helpful for us to maintain our credibility with the university and also help our student readers and audiences know more about what's going on.
You mentioned that the university and President Crow don't always have the same opinion on things. How does that affect this conversation?
I think that, you know, I couldn't necessarily name an example, but I think there are times when, well, actually, I can name an example. So when we were covering the secret recordings of faculty members at ASU, we had this organization called Accuracy in Media that came on campus, had hidden cameras, said they were students and wanted to know about the university's DEI practices. The university, when we reached out to them, said, we follow the law, which is something that prohibits kind of these explicitly DEI practices. We follow the law. We follow these policies that ban DEI. And we're not going to comment on what was said by these people. They weren't authorized to speak on this. They didn't know that they were speaking on this publicly. They thought they were talking to a student. So the university media relations team has been very adamant that we will not comment on this. When we talk to Crow, that isn't necessarily the case. He is willing to say what happened to these faculty members and staff members was terrible. He called Accuracy in Media, these like people who were secretly recording faculty members, screwballs. That is the direct quote. So that's something you'll never hear media relations talk about. But he's honest. He's really kind of off the cuff. He doesn't really seem to hold much back. When he wants to talk about something, he does. And he's like very, very upfront about what he thinks.
Were there any questions that you didn't get to ask that you wish you could have?
I don't believe so. So when we sit down with President Crow, we normally have an hour. That's kind of the standard. Last semester, so during the fall of 2025, we only had 30 minutes. So during that time, it was really a rush to get through everything, and we had a lot to go through. So this time, it was kind of nice that we got to go a little bit slower, probe his brain a little bit more, and kind of work through some of our follow-up questions. We weren't necessarily scrambling to get through our super, super important stuff, and then we were out. So it was really nice, but I don't think we really missed anything.
Well, that's all I've got. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't think so. Check back in with the State Press next semester, and we'll have another Crowversation story.
Thank you so much for your time, Karsten.
Thank you.
The State Press gets the opportunity to interview President Crow each semester. This opportunity has been dubbed the Crowversation by members of the staff and is one of our most anticipated moments of the semester. Trent, would you like to be part of the Crowversation at some point in the future?
You know, part of me really does think it sounds like a really fun and interesting opportunity, but at the same time, I don't know, it seems like a really intimidating interview. He seems like a really important guy.
It is a pretty big responsibility. We tend to ask him about anything and everything important at ASU. Speaking of the future, it arrived at Cronkite this fall with the introduction of AI into our course curriculum.
AI in Cronkite is a hot topic among students, and our Maya France recently sat down with professor and AI expert Shelby Grossman to discuss how it is being implemented at ASU.
All right, so I'm going to start out. I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself a little bit, anything you'd like anyone that's listening in to know about you.
Yeah, hi, I'm Shelby Grossman, and I am a professor of practice of AI and investigative journalism at the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism at the Cronkite School.
All right, and what is your background with AI?
So I only joined ASU about 8 months ago. Prior to that, I spent 6 years working at the Stanford Internet Observatory, where I studied the ways that people misuse technology products to cause harm, including AI. So I studied how foreign state actors will use AI to run covert influence operations targeting people around the world, for example. And I studied how people use AI to exploit children online.
All right, and what are some of the pros and cons you see with integrating AI in schools?
So I'm teaching a course on AI and investigative journalism for master's in investigative journalism students. And I think that this is important to be taught because I think if students are AI literate, they will be more competitive on the job market. I also think that there are many ways in which AI can make reporting work more efficient and can help you uncover information that you might have not otherwise uncovered. And I think that, when I teach AI, I'm not just teaching how to use AI, I'm also teaching how to report on AI and, in particular, how to report on the dark side of AI. So we talk a lot about the ways that people misuse AI to cause harm. We talk about privacy issues, we talk about environmental issues. So I personally don't think there's a con here. I think there are only upsides to teaching it.
Right, then what is your opinion on integrating AI into, like, specifically the Cronkite School of Journalism?
Yeah, okay. So in a journalism context, often when you talk about AI, people think that you're talking about AI for writing. And that makes people, pretty angry. People have a lot of strong feelings about using AI for writing in a journalism context. And when I'm thinking about teaching AI, writing is like not even in my head. I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm thinking about AI for research and AI for workflow efficiencies. So, one of the things that I've done in the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism is I've implemented an AI workflow where whenever a student does an interview and uploads a transcript to a particular Google Drive folder, an automated summary of that transcript is Slacked to everyone on the team. And that helps everyone stay in the loop about, who's interviewing who. So I think there are those interesting use cases in a journalism context.
What are some specific examples of how you see AI being helpful for investigative journalism then, since that's like your specified field with ASU?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of use cases. So first, AI is helpful for finding story ideas. So for example, Notebook LM is really useful for you can upload like a really big government document into Notebook LM and say, what seems newsworthy here? And you can let Notebook LM kind of guide you a little bit into what you decide to focus on. I also think AI is useful for finding people to interview for stories, in particular for finding people who aren't the person who's always interviewed on a certain topic. Like it can allow you to find a more diverse array of people to interview. I also think it's really useful for identifying trends in big data that can be useful to like manually investigate later on. Yeah, those are like some of the use cases that I'm excited about.
All right, and sorry to make you think of so many examples. What are some things you've accomplished personally that you feel where AI made a difference?
Yeah, so recently the tool that I'm excited about is called Claude Cowork. And one of the things that I've been using it for this week is helping me to automate a workflow. So there are a series of YouTube channels that I'm following. And anytime one of those channels posts a new video, I want to have a transcript of that video that I can then look at. And so I used Claude Cowork to build me an automated tool that will send me a Slack message anytime one of these YouTube channels has a new video, and it will automatically store a transcript of that video on my laptop. So that's like one use case that I'm really excited about that I've been working on just this week.
All right, and what led you to feel how you do about AI versus because there's so much controversy around it. So, what led you to think differently about it and see these different viewpoints?
So I actually, I'm very aware of the dark side of AI. In fact, I'm like one of the world's experts kind of in how people misuse AI to cause harm, particularly in the context of propaganda and child safety. So it's not that I'm all just like pro AI all the time. And I think sometimes when I give workshops and classes, students think that I'm just like, oh, all super, super pro AI. And I think, one of the things that I've learned is just that a lot of things can be true at the same time. I spent 2 years, studying how people use AI to exploit children online. So AI can be used for that. And also AI, I'm using AI to make my life easier at the moment in terms of, making some of my workflows more efficient. So I think all of these things can be true at the same time. So it's not that I'm just like, unequivocally pro AI and I only see all the good sides. I'm very aware of some of the privacy risks and many of the misuse risks.
Anything else to add?
Can I ask you one question, which is just I'm curious how you're thinking about AI these days.
Yeah, I mean, I love that question. Thank you. As a journalist, I would say you said you don't see AI being used at all for writing, and you don't like you. That's not something that's in your mind. And I think sadly, that's what a lot of people use it for. And I think that's where the problem arises, which is why I'm very grateful to have this conversation with you and hear your input on it of where it actually benefits you in your journalism field, specifically with investigative journalism. And also to hear that you're doing courses and how to teach people how to use it effectively and not use it just kind of in a dumb way of not thinking of what you're doing. And that's how I think some people are using it, of not thinking about the downsides of it. So I'm really grateful that to hear like your input on it, that there is some way to use it in the way that you are.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, and I think Cronkite is being really progressive in, introducing this into the curriculum in various ways, and helping to teach students how to use it responsibly. But I agree with everything you said. Super interesting.
All right. Thank you so much for your time with us. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please go ahead. I really appreciate you being able to go on the Zoom call, take time out of your day to talk to us.
No, I don't have anything to add. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
And that's all for this week's State Press Play. I'm Audrey Lippert.
I'm Trent Ashdown. State Press Play is produced by our podcast editor, Audrey Lippert, and video podcast editor, Trent Ashdown. Our original music is by Ellie Willard and Jake LaRue.
Special thanks to our multimedia editors.
You can check out all these stories and more on statepress.com. See you next week.